All right, guys. Hey. Welcome back to another episode of Mandated Let's Talk About It, the podcast. I am your host, Selwyn Robbins. As I always say, it's great to be back speaking with you guys. I hope everyone has been blessed coming off this Thanksgiving season. I know this is the first time since 2020 that we've had to deal with things in a different light. For lack of a better word, you know, things changed so much for everybody around the world last year. And, you know, just being able to get to Thanksgiving, I'm sure everyone had a reason to say they're thankful for seeing another year. You know, during that time, you know, many of us have probably lost jobs, lost friends, and unfortunately lost relatives, close friends, and or coworkers in that light. But nonetheless, you know, we are here and we are thankful. And one thing that has truly been spoken lately, even outside of the Thanksgiving season, is just giving thanks every day for everything that we have. You know, we're still striving for other things. And when I say things, not in the sense of material, but continuing to move towards those very things that we want to do in life. And until we reach that point, we have to be thankful for where we are. So, you know, to your left or to your right, what are those very things that you could thank God for right now? You know, I myself definitely thank God for my wife, my family, the brothers that I'm in fellowship with. You know, it's always great to know that you have a support system, and that really changed up for everybody this year. But at the same time, we had to look at it in a different way. Though COVID and the different situations going on around the world were disrupting the world, disrupting the church, at the same time, it allowed us to come back together in a different light. You know, because we were mandated to be confined in a way, we were able to spend more time with each other. We were able to spend more time with the ideas and thoughts that we had in our mind in regards to becoming entrepreneurs. And, you know, in this season, I'm sure so many businesses have been started, which I think is a great thing. So, hey, be thankful for it. Be thankful for it. I know I definitely am and want to continue to do that thing. So, hey, guys, you know, before I go forward, you know, there's always one thing, or two things I'll say I want to ask. One is, how are you doing? And I'll answer that for myself first. And I feel I'm doing great. You know, there are a lot of things on the plate that both my wife and I are taking one bite at a time out of, you know, meaning that we're taking one step closer to that very goal that we're trying to reach. And not just reach in the sense of we reached that goal and we stopped, but those are just pinnacle points to the very top that we're trying to achieve. And that was something we were speaking about earlier today in regards to what is your top. And we really have to define this. And this is something actually I heard from Eric Thomas, the hip hop preacher, as they call it, but he's the number one motivational speaker. And I had to bring that up to my wife. I said, you know, because it had me thinking about what is our top. And, you know, we can only go so far, but other people could go further. And this has nothing to do with race, culture, or creed. This is just about the very places, connections, and things that we're wanting to do, people we're wanting to connect with. And I have to say, you know, that's how well we are doing. And the second question is, what is it that you're looking to do? And I just want to continue to put that out there in hoping, in the hopes that you'll be able to pinpoint that one thing out of many that you know without a doubt you want to do. So I want to keep that thought out there. I want to plant that seed and help you water it just as well. So by all means, if you want to contact me, reach out to me for any thoughts, feedback, I would love to hear from you. You can reach me at mandated2021@gmail.com, or you can actually leave a voice message here right on anchor.fm for the show. I would love to hear from you and engage and go from that. So, all right, we're getting back into Jonah. And, you know, the last time we spoke, this was based on chapter 1. We were finishing that up. And at the end of that chapter, you know, they're on the boat. Jonah and the other mariners are on the boat going through the storm, trying to battle the storm, actually even tried to turn back from their destination to head back, head to their point of departure. But the storm just wouldn't let them go. And they ended up casting lots to find out, you know, who is it on that boat that was causing the problem. And as the results of the lots came back, it fell on Jonah, and they asked him his profession, you know, who is he, where is he from? And he told him, basically, you know, I'm a prophet, you know, I believe in God. I'm one of God's people, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, what was so striking about that particular section of passage is that even as he had told them that, they still tried their very best in their own power to save their lives. But like I said, the storm just wouldn't let them out. And Jonah, you know, he just had this mindset being nonchalant about his life that, you know, hey, it's me, throw me overboard. And, you know, just in the reality of things today, we don't want to be cast out from anything, right? Even if we're in the wrong, we still want to have some place that we feel accepted. Even if it's the place we don't want to be or need to be, we still want to feel accepted to some degree, right? But the mariner said, no, we're going to go ahead and try to turn back and get back to land. But it still wouldn't let them go. The storm was still raging. So they got to a point where, you know, they threw Jonah overboard. You know, picture that man just being thrown over during the storm. And that section of passage, you know, I titled it Man Overboard. And that brings us into chapter two, the end of chapter one, coming into chapter two today, where we get into a part of the story that we normally hear about, you know, as kids, you know, Jonah and the big fish, right? And I really don't want to get into that too much because it's a little misleading in the way we've been taught as kids. You know, we always think of a big fish as a whale because we know the whale to be the biggest fish in the sea, at least that has been found, right? But I'm not going to get all Jack Cousteau-ish on you. And if you don't know him, look him up. He is a pioneer in oceanography. Though he has passed many years ago, his name still goes on. But nonetheless, The big misconception is that the fish itself was identified, but it never was. We just know it to be a big fish. So this is what I want to say about this. And in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, this is the last verse. It says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And this is what I want to say about this particular passage. I want to pull out key points in here, and I'm going to do this throughout chapter 2. It says, now the Lord prepared a great fish. Prepared meaning it was already in plan. It was already in God's will that this fish was going to be there at that right time in order to fulfill what God already had in the path of Jonah. And when you look at great fish, simply great, meaning large, larger than man in that sense. But what I want you to focus on is not that it was a fish, but not just a great fish, but in the sense of what does a fish do? Well, a fish simply moves throughout the water, high, low, up and down. It really doesn't move back. Only some can. But nonetheless, any fish is always on the move. But what does the fish represent? And this is a very simple answer. This goes over to Jesus and the disciples when he was first meeting them. And his key phrase was this, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, right? So the fish represents movement, but the fish also represents ministry and men. And isn't it so astounding where you see the ministry that Jonah was supposed to have, the fish, is the very thing that encapsulated him, right? What I want to say is that many times in life, it always takes someone or something bigger than us to move us. So let me tie this into the ministry in Jonah, that he has always been about himself. So he wasn't moved by God per se, right? Or if he was, he was moving in the opposite direction. And what I say it mean is that when he heard God's voice, he moved, but he moved in opposite of what God was trying to do. However, and just in that sense, God, as we know, is bigger than Jonah. So that made him move. Another thing that made him move, yes, is this great fish that was prepared by our God that was to move Jonah. And I want to say it this way. When we are in ministry, when we're in relationship with each other, and let me even take it outside of church. In the natural sense, for those that are not believers, I want you to hear this. When we are moved by a person or a situation, it means that it's bigger than us. It means that it has touched us to whatever degree that we now have to act upon that emotion. And this is what the fish is representing, is that this is the emotion, the heart of God coming to grab us, to move us to where he wants us to be. You know, one thing I hear a lot in ministry is, Lord, break my heart for the thing that breaks yours, right? Well, we know that in this story, the people of Nineveh, his children, is what's breaking his heart. We even heard this in the story of the initial story of the children of Israel in Egypt, that he's heard their cry. So he moved upon them through Moses. And this is the same thing he's doing here with Jonah, is that I'm hearing my people, I see their ways. So I'm sharing my heart with you to move you, to compel you to what I need you to do to save them. But Jonah, as we know, is very rebellious. And in that verse, it says, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And I want to pull out belly, belly, belly. What is the belly to us? Belly to us is a place that holds, basically stores our food when we're eating and we're digesting. That's where all of that, for the most part, happens, right? But in this sense, I want you to think about it as Jonah is sitting in the belly of the fish. He is in a dark place. There's no light there, right? He is in a dark place. He's in a dark place of life. He's in a dark place of where he needs to pray. But I also want to say this in a natural sense, that the belly is also the place of birthing. Right? The belly is the place of birthing. And that place there, there's a lot of, there's a lot of trials in it. There's a lot of pain. You know, as we go back or we think about a woman as she is in the process of delivering a baby, there's much pain, there's much anguish in there at time, because things are shifting. Things are moving. It is changing. Life is being breached into a new life. So Jonah, in essence, is being breached into a new life, but he's being prepared in the darkness. And I don't know who you are today, but you are being prepared right now in the dark spot. So I just ask you right now to take upon what Jonah has done here, coming in chapter 2. He comes out with a cry. He comes out with a prayer, and he says, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, that is hell, I cried. Look at how he compares the belly to hell. Now, if you're in the belly, you're pretty much in the lowest place, right? So he is not just in hell, but he is in the depths of hell as he is making this comparison. And he says, and you have heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. And this is where I want to get to. He says, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Pause. Let's selah right here. Yet I will look again to your holy temple. What was his first outlook of the holy temple compared to now, right? Let's compare this to the time of salvation, when we first met our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, where we first said, Lord, I give my life to you because you gave yours for me. I understand that you died. You were, uh, You were jailed, you were crucified, you were buried, and you were resurrected for my life. So I turn again to the remembrance of that day that you brought me from a place of death, or you brought me from a place that had no direction into one that was newness of life. And that is found in Romans 6:6-4, that I have come into a place that is new in life to me. So he says, I look again toward your holy temple, that being Jerusalem, that being my encounter, that being your heavenly word to me, that being the place where you have birthed your ministry in me. And many times we have went through life and we have forgot the first day of our new life. Well, what do I mean? You remember when Jesus was visited by Nicodemus at nighttime, and Jesus had spoke to him about being born again. And he said, the only way a man can enter heaven is that he can be born again. And Nicodemus's reply was, can a man enter the womb of his mother a second time? Being birthed into a new life from the belly of Sheol, from the place where I didn't think I had any influence, from the place where I feel that I couldn't do anything, from a place where I was always trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents, from a place where I felt that I could not hold my own, from a place where no one wanted to talk to me, from a place where I felt that I was in discontent, from a place where I felt I had nothing to provide. And he says, the water surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. Oh, hold up right there. I went down to the moorings of the mountain. And to understand that analogy, I was in the Navy. And when I first signed up after being recruited, I signed up as a seaman. And I really didn't know what it was. So as I was going through boot camp, they came to us, or we all went to a class one day, and they said, hey, this is your chance where if you want, you can change your rating to something else. So I was a seaman, but my initial dreams and goals was to be on the water, be on a carrier, be around the F-14 Tomcat, which is my favorite plane of all planes. Also either try to be a pilot or be a Navy SEALs. Well, I got just about everything with the exception of the last two, that being the Navy SEALs and the pilot. And when I was in my rating, and this was an ABH, Aviation Boatswain's Handler. So we were the individuals, the group, the department that moved the planes from the hangar bay to the flight deck, or flight deck to the hangar bay. And that was a task in itself. We were responsible, in essence, for the whole ship, or excuse me, for the full length of the ship on the hangar bay level. But what was interesting is that when we were ship to ship, meaning we were connected from one ship to the next, either out at sea receiving goods and fuel, or we were in port docked. In order to connect to a dock or connect to another ship, you had to have moorings. And you could basically think of these as long ropes that tied a ship to the pier or tied a ship to another. And what he is saying here, coming back to the moorings of the mountains, he's that he went to the place where he was first tied down, where he was first captured. And that goes back to what I was saying, looking again to the holy temple. I went down to the moorings of the mountains, the place where God would show up. And I want you to think about this when Moses was on Mount Sinai in his visitation with God. The children of Israel were at the bottom of the mountain waiting for Moses to come back to receive God's word. So I ask you this, when was the last time you were at the mountain, the bottom that is, to receive the word? It's not always about being high on the mountain. It's about where you are on that level. It's where you are in your first encounter. Have you remembered that time when God first spoke his word to you and you heard it to where you're like, God, without a shadow of a doubt, I'm going to move where you ask me to move. I'm going to say what you want me to say. I'm going to sing what you want me to sing. I'm going to preach what you want me to preach. I'm going to heal where you want me to heal. Come on now. Do you remember your mooring to the mountain? And it goes on to say, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. From the pit. Yet you have brought me up my life from the pit. You remember Joseph? When he was cast into the pit by his brothers due to their jealousy? Now, mind you, Joseph was talking a little bit too much, you know, a little hot-headed kid that got the best gift from his father. So, you know, naturally, that was a little bit of jealousy coming from his brothers. But he was put in a place where nobody could find him. Nobody could hear him. Nobody could see him, more than likely. There was a place where he wasn't fed. He wasn't nourished with any water. He was all by himself. He was able to see the day change to night and the night change to day. He was able to look up and possibly see the stars at the time, or look up and see the sun. But he was in the lowest place of his life. Even taking that a little further, when he was in the jail, nobody wants to be in prison. Nobody wants to be shackled. Nobody wants to be a place where they are forgotten or even thought of. Nobody wants to be a place where they're not even provided for. Especially in today's time. Well, let me take that back. Not even in especially today's time, whatever time you're in. Nobody wants to be forgotten. But God remembered him. God brought him out. God brought you out. He brought me out. He brought my wife out. Do you remember that time he brought you from the pit? And verse 8 says, those who regarded worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Remember, I talked about thanksgiving at the top of this? But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. Yeah, we really have a big thanksgiving when we're in the belly of something, don't we? Oh, we cry out even more. Oh, my God. Thanksgiving, giving thanks. We actually have been hearing sermons lately. We're actually in a sermon series about Thanksgiving. The last one, Pastor Deb spoke about giving thanks forward, you know, in advance of those things, not waiting for something to happen and then praising God, but praising God right now for what he has done and what he will do, though we have not seen it. You know, eyes have not seen, as the scripture says, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men what the Lord has said. So in that, our life is to be moved by faith and not by sight. As we give thanks, we continue to lift up God's name, even in spite of the situation. Even when we don't know what's going to happen, we still give thanks. Even when he has said he's going to provide, you know, I am the source and I will provide the resource. Even though we have not seen it yet, we still praise him for that. And then when it has manifested, I would say we even kick up that thanksgiving and praise and worship even to another level, right? Not just because we're in a time of despair, but we've got to praise him throughout our life. The commentary actually says this here. It says, Jonah said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Often we act the same way. When life is going well, we tend to take God for granted. But when we lose hope, we cry out to him. This kind of relationship with God can result only in an inconsistent up and down spiritual life. A consistent daily commitment to God promotes a solid relationship with him. Look to God during both the good and bad times, and you will have a stronger spiritual life. I want to leave it with this in the last scripture of chapter 2. It says, so the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. I could barely picture. Well, no, I can't picture that Jonah being spit up. I'm just thinking of this man being in the belly of this whale where there's nothing but trash and debris and food, which is krill that they eat, you know, all in the belly that probably may not have been digested at the time, and him being spat up with all of that on him, and him crawling out of the water onto dry land on bending knees, hands down, head down. And this is what it's saying. I want you to listen to this. Come to God as you are. Don't try to get cleaned up on your own. Come as you are. Don't think that you need to be perfect in order to come to God. Come as you are. Don't think you need to be in a certain place in order to come to God. Come to God. And he will hear you. God has something much bigger for you than you can see, but he has to prepare you in those dark times for when that light is going to so shine. And you know, I want to go back to the belly. In the belly, there was no darkness. When he was thrown overboard, he didn't have a candle. What kind of light did he have? Right? I want to end this episode with Matthew 5, 14 through 16. And you've heard this before. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Gentlemen and ladies, I don't know what dark time you are in, but know that you have the light inside of you that you can speak out loud, that it will then overtake the darkness to bring you out of that place onto dry land. You know, when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt on their way to Canaan, they had to go through a place that was nothing but water, and that was the Red Sea. And the Lord made a way by splitting the Red Sea, as we know this story, to where they could come onto the other side. But in that journey, in that walk, he made what was once wet, he made it dry in order for them to walk stably. And God is going to do the same thing for you as he's bringing you out of that place that you've been in despair in for so long, into a place where that despair is no longer going to be there. And he's going to close that place behind you so that you can now move forward. And that is what God is doing with Jonah here. He has taken him from the depths of what he knew to be his hell into a place that was solid and prepared and ready for him to move forward in ministry. Right now, you need to move forward in your entrepreneurship. Right now, you need to move forward in that marriage. Go deeper and get closer with your spouse. Get closer with God. Get closer with your children. Get closer with your coworkers. God is moving to you to a place, but you've got to be willing. He's not going to sit up here and force you to do this. He's giving you opportunities to make this happen. God can always use somebody else, but he has a specific purpose for you. I hope you know your purpose, and I hope you understand that in this, we don't have to stay in the belly. We don't have to stay in hell. We don't have to stay in those dark places. We can be that city that is set on a hill, that light that we have. We can so let it shine for all the men to see our good works. This is not for us to boast, but this is to show the glory of God, the mercy and his forgiveness and his glory that is upon us because of how he loves us. All right. Hey, that was Jonah. Chapter 2, I can't wait to get back to you and speak to chapter 3. Man, God is moving in this, and I hope that you were able to receive a word from this today. Hey, guys, once again, I would love to hear from you. Reach out to me, and we'll do this. All right.